Beginning the current daf, Masechta Shavuos, daf Lamed Vav. Begin 5 lines down by the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which we explained there was a machlekes regarding Shavuos Ha'edus, the oath of false testimony, that a person really knows testimony, swearing falsely, if it requires the Shem HaMiyuchad, which there is an opinion that learns as Gzeir Shava from Saita, and then there's the opinion of our Mishnah, which says that no, one's liable even with all the Kenuyin, all the different appellations, all the different name descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which the Gemara then said, so where do we know that from? The only source we had was from Saita, and Saita has to be Shem HaMiyuchad. And that the Gemara said, and that's where our Gemara elaborates on that, that no, the word Allah itself, that's in the Pasuk of, by Shavuos Ha'edus, that itself, that word refers to an oath, and we don't have to learn that from Saita to see from there that just like it says over there, the word Allah, and it means an oath, which, but there it's only with a Shem HaMiyuchad, here also we don't have to say that. As the Gemara says, Amar Bavo, he says, Minayin la'Allah shishvua. Where do we know that the word Allah itself indicates an oath, and therefore we know from the parsha of Shavuos Ha'edus itself, and therefore it doesn't specify that has to be Shem HaMiyuchad, like our Mishnah said, B'chol kinuyin, one, if he swears with that kinuy, he'll be liable for Shavuos Ha'edus. Shem, like it says the pasuk in Yechezkel, it says, V'yave oisei ba'Allah v'goyimah, that Nebuchadnezzar brought Tzidkiyahu into an Allah. What is that? Ksev, the pasuk in Divrei Yomim Beis, when it talks about this incident, says, V'gam b'melech Nebuchadnezzar marad, that also actually Tzidkiyahu rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, ashehishbiyoy be'elikim, that he had make him swear by God. So you see that when he brought him into an Allah, it was referring to an oath of a shvuah. So you see the word Allah itself refers to a shvuah. Now actually the Gemara says, Tanur Limna Brai said that Ur, the terminology of Ur, in which on some level the word Allah refers to that too, as we said in the previous stop, that Allah itself is a curse, and in that curse includes an oath. So now the Gemara continues on the related theme that the word Ur indicates all the following terminologies. Boi nidui, it indicates excommunication. In other words, if let's say they wanted to go ahead and make a nidui, and he says Ur, the Chacham says Ur on this person, it's used in the terminology of nidui. Boi klala, let's say someone curses his friend in the words of Ur hu la Hashem, it's a curse, and therefore the one who's cursing, you're forbidden to curse another person, would be liable. And also boi shvua, it also, if a person says to his friend in a way of an oath, and the person accepts that when he says Ur, it's going to be as an oath. As the Gemara explains, Bay Nidui, the word Ur itself indicates excommunication. So like it says a pasuk in Shaiftim. In Sefer Shaiftim it says, Uru Meirais. Uru, which we're saying that's the word of Ur, Meirais, which is the name of a place, they're going to be Ur. That Amar Malach Hashem, the angel of Hashem, says, Uru, Uru Yeshveh, that the inhabitants of that city are going to be Ur. Now, the Amar Ula says, what was this referring to? The Arba Mea Shippur, with 400 Shaifers, Shamate Barak Lamarais. Barak excommunicated this place of Marais, and you see, therefore, that the word, although it's used as Ur, that it was referring to Shamta, to excommunication. So you see, Ur refers to neither. Boy Klala, also, the word Ur refers to a curse. So like it says, the pasuk in Devarim, it says, Ve'elu yamdu ala klala, that when they had by Har Grizim, Har Evil, when the Jewish people were accepting the blessings, if you keep the Torah, and the curses if one does not fulfill the Torah. So it says, Ve'elu yamdu ala klala, and these are the ones who stood on the curse. Uksiv, and it says, what were the klalas? Ur ha'ish ashiyasa pesel v'gem, it was referring to each one of those curses, and the terminology of cursed, which in the words of Ur, which either makes a graven image, and so on, all the other klalas, so you see the word Ur indicates klala too. And third of all, by shvua, it also refers to an oath, so simply like we find the pasuk in Sefer Yeshua. It says, Vayishava, Vayishba Yeshua, Be'es ha'hi lemer, and Yeshua made them take an oath at that time, saying, Ur ha'ish lefnei Hashem ha'gemer, cursed is the one that's in front of Hashem. So you see the word Ur refers to actually the taking of an oath. On that has the Gemara v'dimo tarti avalahu. How do you know? How do you know that the word Ur refers to an oath? Maybe he actually did two things. Ishba'inu, like the pasuk says, that vayishba, vayashba, that he made them take an oath. And also, as we find that Ur means klala, v'laitinu, and they also cursed them. But where do you find that the terminology of Ur itself means taking a shvuah? So Elam Hachar, the Gemara brings a different source, the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It says, v'ish Yisrael nigas b'yimahu, a Jewish man was pressed on that day, because v'yoyel shol es am lemer, Saul made the people take the oath, saying, Ur ha'ish asher yechel v'gemer, curses the one who eats. No one's supposed to eat that day. Now, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'yohinesin loishama, Yohinesin, his own son, didn't hear, Bashbiya of Esam, when his father made the people take an oath, and therefore he did eat. But one thing we see is that it says that he was saying that whoever eats is Ar, and you see the Pasuk describes it as he was making them take a Shavuot. So you see, Ar refers to a Shavuot. The Gemara here also asks, "V'dema hachanami? No, maybe here also tarti avaluhu. Maybe he did two things. Ashbi inu v'laitinu. He made them take an oath and he cursed them. How do you know that ar itself refers to a shavuot?" And then as the Gemara miksev v'ar does say, and that is going to be ar. It says no, v'yoyel, which is the term of an oath, saying ar ha'ish. And you see, he was only saying one thing, and you see that refers to a shavuot because there was two things. It would say v'ar. Says the Gemara, Hashtas Lachi, once you came to this answer, to solidify this answer you're giving from Shaul, so then Hasan Nami Lik Sivar, we could go back and also use the previous answer by Yeshua. There also doesn't say a Vav of Vi'ar, and therefore it's obviously it was one thing, and we see that the word Ar refers to a Shvua, and not that there was two things. Gemara has a similar type of exposition, like we said that the word Ar refers to three different things. So to Amr B'Yisra Reb Chanin, it says Amen, the word Amen, by Shvua, indicates an oath. If let's say someone responds after an oath and someone was mashbiah him and he says amen, it's like he said the oath himself. By kabbalas devarim, it's also indicate an acceptance of terms, where if someone says to his friend, yes, we're going to do this on the condition that you fulfill this and this condition and stipulation, and he says amen, it's an acceptance of his words and his terms, and he has to fulfill that condition. And also, third of all, by hamanas devarim, it's also an agreement of desire for that thing, where let's say when someone davens or says a supplication, where it's appropriate to answer amen on that, because that's like called ma'amen advarm, that he agrees and he wants that, and they're saying that what you're saying is true. That's the same thing, which is the third thing which you get from the word amen. The Gemara illustrates these three halachas. Bayishvu, what we find that the word amen is like taking an oath. The Pasuk says the Pasuk Mamidbar by the Saita says that the Kayin would adjure her in an oath, and after he would say, and if this is the case, and I'm taking an oath, this is going to be, V'amar Isha Amen Amen, and she would answer that, yes, I was not Mizanah, she says, Amen Amen. Now, if it wasn't like she took the oath herself, then why would the warders go ahead and inspect her? Even Mujma B'Piachem you don't have in this situation. Because Mujma B'Piachem is, when the other person says, yeah, you did this and this, and I want you to swear for me, another person says, no, I didn't. Here in this case, she doesn't say anything after the oath. It's not like a case of Mashbiyani Aleichem, I'm making you take an oath, and then they deny after that oath, and they say, we don't know any testimony for you. Here she's not saying anything, but the word Amen, obviously the word Amen is like you're taking the oath itself. The second thing Amen does is Boi Kabal's Devarim. It's an acceptance of terms. Like it says, the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, Orasha lo yokum es divra tera zeis lasis isim. Cursed is the one who does not uphold the words of the Torah to do them. And says, V'amar kalam, amen. And the older people said, amen. What is that? There was an acceptance of terms. And third of all, boy haman is devarim. We find that it's a belief in those words, meaning a desire that it should be true. There's still like it says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, V'yirmi Yirmiyah hanavi. Yirmiyah the prophet said, amen, kenyas Hashem, amen, so should Hashem do. Yakum Hashem is devarecha, Hashem should fulfill your words. You see that amen is a haman is devarim, is a belief in the desire for that to be true. Now, Amr Belazar, he says, the word lav, no, is a shvu, it's an oath. And hen, yes, is a shvu, is an oath. As the Gemara is going to conclude, meaning if he says it two times, no, no, or yes, yes, that's like an oath, because since he's repeating his words, he's substantiating his opinion, that's like taking an oath. Now the Gemara asks, Bishlam lav shvu, I could understand that you would say that saying no is an oath. Because we have a source for this in the Pasuk in Sefer Bereishis. Says, Hashem says, V'lo yia oid hamayim lamabul, which is no. He's saying, and there should not be any more water of a flood. Uchsim, and this is a Pasuk in Yeshaya, that Hashem is saying, Ki mei noyach zois li, because the waters of Noach, referring to the waters of the flood, are for me, Hashem nishbati, which I swore. What Hashem is swear? We see, because he just said no. So we see that to say no is an oath. Elehen shvu menal, but where do you find that saying yes is also an oath? Says the Gemara, Svaru, it's logical. Medelav shvu, from saying no is an oath, hen nami shvu, saying yes is also an oath. Now Amar Ravi qualifies this halacha as we alluded to before. He says, v'hud ama lav lav trei zimni, but that's only if he says no, no, two times. Or v'hud ama hein hein trei zimni, where he says yes, yes, two times. Because actually we find that that's what it was the case by the Mabul, when we said it's an oath, where it says over there, v'lo yikareis kol basar oid mimi ha-mabul, that there's not going to be any more person to cut off from waters of a flood. and that the water will not be anymore as a flood. So you see that it has to say two times no, then it's going to be an oath. Now, says the Gemara, the lav trays him then from the fact that saying no is two times, sehen nami trays him the yes, which we learn now from no, based on logic, is also going to be only if he says it two times yes, yes, then it's like the halachas of an oath. Now, the Mishnah said, hamakal b'kulam, if someone curses with all these different, meaning once we introduce the halacha, relating to the halacha of a Mishnah of Shavuos Ha'edus, that it's going to be with, if it's going to be with not just with Hashem and Miyuchad, but with all the Kinuyin, so too then the Mishnah segues into other halachas relating to the name of Hashem, where there's a machlokes regarding if someone curses with the other names of Hashem called the Kinuyin, not necessarily the Shem HaMiyuchad of Yudke Vavke, then Chayiv, Divrei Meir, Meir says he's going to be liable. V'acham patron, however, the Chacham say that he's going to be exempt. So the Gemara brings the source for this machlokes, Tarnabon Linda Braisa. The Pasuk says in Meyikra, Ish Ish Ki Yikal Lelikav, which this halacha is talking about cursing, blaspheming God. So the Pasuk says, if every man who curses his God, b'nosachet is going to carry his sin. Ask the Braisa, matam olayma. What is this Pasuk teaching us? Well, like Varanema, but we already teach in the following Pasuk, v'noikim shem Hashem mois yumas, that he who will curse the name of Hashem will surely die. So then the Pasuk should have just written, ish ish ki yikav shem, b'nosachet of yumas. What is these two psukim talking about the same idea about blasphemy and cursing against God? So says the Braisa, yochel lo yehi chayiv el Hashem ha-miyuchad b'lvad, because you would think if we only had the second Pasuk, that the liability would only be on what's known as the Shem Havaya, on the designated name of Hashem, that of the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Minayin l'rabbi says, how do we know it include all the other names of Hashem, of Erech Hapayim, of Elikim, that they're included? Tamalayma, ish ish ki yikal l'lekev. That's what the first Pasuk is teaching, where then it doesn't say Hashem, it doesn't say Yud Kei Vav Kei. There it says Elikim, Elikav, which are considered the kinuim, the other secondary names of Hashem. Where you see, Mekam Akam, that the liability is in all situations, that's the remeir. Now, Vachamayim, they disagree, they say no. As they disagree in our Mishnah, Hashem Yuchim b'misa. For the death penalty of cursing God is only the Shem Yudke Vavke. Vala Kinuyin Ba'asara. But for all the other names, you're right, that's forbidden, and that we know it's forbidden from the Pasuk in Shemais Chavbeis Elikim Leisakal, a person not allowed to curse even Elikim, meaning one of the other names of Hashem. However, this Pasuk is teaching Ish Kish Ki Yikal Lekav, is saying that there's going to be a negative prohibition, meaning Ish Ish Ki Yikal is teaching us that there's going to be curse. Now, this that the Gemara says that for Kinuyin is Azhara, that doesn't mean there's only negative prohibition. That's only to exclude from the death penalty, but it's not coming to exclude from curse. We know it's prohibited from Elikim Leisakal. And this Pasuk, Ishkish Ki Yikal, is teaching us that there's going to be Karis, but not Chiyav Misa of Misa's Bezdin, like it is the case of Shem HaMiyuchad. And the Mishnah continued with another Machloikis, the Mekal of V'imay V'chul. Also, this is related to the laws of cursing one's parents, which is forbidden. There is also Machloikis if it's only with Shem HaMiyuchad or even B'chol HaKinuyin. Says the Gemara, Man Chacham, who is the opinion of the Chacham, the sages to hold, it has to be specifically the Shem Havaya, the four-letter name of Hashem, of Yud Kei Vav Kei, to be liable for the death penalty of cursing one's parents. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yisi, says, the Pasuk of Yikra says, B'nokfoy Shem Yumas, when he curses the name, he's going to be liable for the death penalty. So the question is, Matam Alem Hashem, what is the name coming to teach? This whole Pasuk is extra, because this is a different Pasuk of Yikra. We already brought other psukim that teach us the liability of cursing Hashem's name. What does this pasuk teach? So says the Braisa, Limad al Makal of Vima. It's coming to teach not regarding cursing God, but regarding cursing one's parents. Shein Chayiv Achikalim B'Shem. There's not liable until he curses with the Shem HaMiyuchad, that of the four letter name. That's the opinion of Menachem Abiyisi, which is brought in our Mishnah of only being liable with the four letter name of Hashem. And then the Mishnah continued with the next category, V'Makal Atzme V'Chaveiroi V'Chulu. And now, if regards to someone who curses himself or curses his friend, there, the Mishnah says that with all the different names, whether the Shem Havaya or all the other Kinuyin, he's going to be chayv on loisa, say, a negative prohibition for cursing himself or his friend. And that qualifies the Gemara. Rabbi Yana, he explains, v'divri hakol. Now, this opinion of the Mishnah, in contrast to the case of cursing his parents or cursing Hashem, which there we had in Machlaikis, here is going according to everybody. Now, there's an added chiddush over here in what Rabbi Yana is saying, is that we shouldn't say, since the Gemara just brought before, that there's an extra pasuk, which, like Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yisi was teaching, in regards to him being the opinion of the Chacham in our Mishnah, that is including. So you would think you would include even himself, if he curses himself, or his friend. And that is what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that no, Rabbi Nachum was specifically coming to include only if someone curses his father, where there he gets ski like when he curses Hashem. That's what we say that has to be specifically with the Shem Havaya. In contrast, when he curses himself or his friend, with that, as the Gemara is going to explain, by both of them, it's just a negative prohibition. That's not learned out from here, and therefore you can't learn out from the extra pasuk of shame, which is only talking about the but using cursing with the shame havaya. That will only apply to cursing one's parents, but cursing himself or his friend, which is not going to have the same death penalty of skila like it is by both those categories, they were not going to apply. And here, actually, everyone agrees that it's going to be even b'chala kinuyim, even Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yisi, as the Gemara explains. Atzma himself, the chesed, like it says, the pasuk in Devarim, says, Rak, however, hishamalcha, should safeguard for yourself, v'shmoy nafesh chmoyed, and protect your soul very much, which means that someone is not allowed to do something dangerous to himself, which includes also cursing himself. Now, moreover, how do we know it's just a negative prohibition? Kedreb avin amir below. The amir that he says, kamakam shenem hishamah pen ba'al, whatever it says, one of these three terminologies of safeguard, or maybe, or don't, and the lays to say it just refers to negative prohibition. So you see that a person has negative prohibition from cursing himself, and that will apply, because we don't have an extra pasuk that's saying it's only b'shem yochad, by all the kinuin. So to v'chaveir d'chsiv is regarding his friend, it says the pasuk of Yikol, l'isachal cheresh. You're not allowed to curse a deaf person, which the Gemara Sanhedrin of Samach Vamaralf learns out that it's kol shu ba'amcha, that means everyone you're not allowed to curse, and therefore there is also negative prohibition. And regarding these two halachas, everyone agrees in our Mishnah that it's going to be b'chol ha'kinuin, not only with the shem ha'miyochad. Then the Mishnah continued and said, if let's say he tells the witnesses, Yakcha Hashem, Hashem should hit you, or Bechein Yakchem Elikim, that God should hit you in the plural. Zuhi Ola Ksuba Torah, that is the Ola, which we find that this is from the curses in the Torah, where it talks about, and it says it's talking about the word Ola over there. So we see that that's during a person, which we said that Ola is a terminology of Shavuah. And since the Torah, when it refers to Allah, it uses these words, so that's also going to be valid to go ahead and adjure witnesses regarding taking an oath of Shavuos Eidos. Now, the Gemara brings an incident that Yosef Rav Kahana Kamed Rav Yehuda, which relates incidentally to this halacha, that Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda, Rav Kahana was sitting and learning our Mishnayos as they're learned, which the words of the Mishnah are, Yakcho, Yakchem, should hit you, or hit you in the plural. So Amaleis, Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Kahana was teaching it and saying it to Rabbi Yehuda, he said to Rav Kahana, Kane, switch around your words towards others. Say Yakehu, Yakem. Hashem should curse them, hit them, not that he shouldn't be cursing me, because although you don't mean me, you're just saying the Mishnah, but you're looking at me and you're talking to me and you're saying, Yakcho, Yakchem, Hashem should hit you. And therefore, don't say you, say someone else. Similarly, Yosef Ahum Rabboni Kamed Rav Kahana. There were these rabbis that were sitting in front of Rav Kahana. But Yosef Akam, and he was sitting and he was saying, Pasuk in Tilam, Gam El Yitotzchol Netzach, also God should smash you for eternity. Yachtachov Yisachacha Me'oil, he should cut you and should remove you from the tent. Sheireshcho Me'etz Chaim Sela, and he'll uproot you from the land of the living forever. Now this Pasuk he was expounding, which was said in regards to Doyeg in Sefer Tilam. So Malay, Rav Kahana said to him, Kanei, turn it around, say Yatsehu, Hashem should smash him. Don't look at me and say the pasuk, which means it looks like it means me. Says the Gemara Tarti Lamali, why do we need two different stories to illustrate this halacha? So the Gemara says, Ma'adutei mahanamele masnitin, if we only had the first incident, we would have said that when you're teaching a Mishnah, you could switch around the words of a Mishnah. Abekroi eim aloy mechanin, but we'd say regarding a pasuk, you don't switch around the words of a pasuk. That even by a pasuk, if someone's darshaning, don't say it and look at somebody and say you are going to get smashed for eternity. Say them, switch it around so that it not be something of danger purporting to that person. On that, the Gemara continues with the Mishnah, another way of adjuring witnesses. If let's say it says, Al Yakcha, no, Hashem should not hit you if you say the testimony you owe me. Or V'yivarchecha, Hashem will bless you. Or V'yitav lachal, do good for you. So Remeya Mechayev, Remeya says that that's going to create a liability of Shavuos Eidos. Macham Pait and Macham says you're going to be exempt, which seemingly is because of the concept known as Mechlalavat Tashmehen. He's saying, yeah, if you say testimony that you know from me, Hashem should bless you, which the indication is if you do know and you don't say, Hashem should curse you, which that's what we said before, that that's valid as Allah Haksub Batara to be considered taking the oath of Shavuos Eidos. Whereas the Remeya holds that you're going to be Chayev, Macham says you're going to be exempt. That has the Gemara, but v'holes later in Meir. But it's not true. Meir does not hold of mechla lava teshmeihen, that from the fact that it says no, we can infer that yes. Because as the Mishnah teaches in Masechet Kedushin of a Samach Aleph Manalef, Meir says any stipulation which is not doubled, like it was by the stipulation of the tribes of Gad and Reuben regarding taking their portion in Eretz Yisrael, Evel HaYarden, then they have to come and fight in Eretz Yisrael, it's not a stipulation. You have to say both. You have to say, if you do, then yes, and if not, then not. So therefore, what you see from Remeir is, if you don't double both, you don't say that you could infer. Why do you have to say both? Obviously, if I'm saying if you come and fight, you're going to get, it means if you don't fight, you're not going to get. Obviously, Remeir holds that you do have to do the Tanai Kafel. You have to repeat it. Obviously, he holds that you don't say. So how do we understand his opinion on Mishnah that says you're going to be chayev? How are you going to be chayev? He only said, if you do say testimony, you'll do good. But we don't infer. So the Gemara answers, you're at eight, but we have to switch around the attribution of the opinions in our Mishnah. Remei is the one who says, you pater, and the Chama the ones who say, you chayev. However, Kiyasa Reb Yitzchak, when Reb Yitzchak came, Tana Kedetnan, he learned our Mishnah as our Mishnah was taught, which is that Remei is the one that says, you chayev, and the Chama say, you pater. So Rabbi Yisrael says, look, hashta da anant nanachi, since our text of the Mishnahis are like that, Remei says Yechayev. And the Chiyas Rabbi Yitzchak Taniach, when Rabbi Yitzchak came, he also taught the Mishnah that way. Shema minar dafka etnan, so Rabbi Yisrael said, obviously it is precisely that it's Remei that says Yechayev. Elikasha, then we have the difficulty. How could he say Yechayev when we know Remei on record from Masechtas Kedushin that he says, you do not say the inference of Mechala Vatash Mehen. So that says Rabbi Yisrael, key Leslie, when does he not hold of that? That's b'mamayna. That's regarding monetary law. Av b'isura islet, regarding prohibitory law, then he holds yes. Here we're talking about an oath, which is prohibitory law, not regarding mamonis. And regarding prohibitions, he holds that you do infer, and therefore when he's saying, look, if you say the truth, then you'll have good, but if not, but he doesn't say the other half, then we do infer. There, Masechtas Kedushin was regarding mamonis, there he doesn't infer. By b'nei God, b'nei Reuven, regarding monetary situations, there he doesn't infer. That is the Gemara, Bahare Saita di Isuruhu. But the halacha of Saita is the halacha of prohibitory law regarding if we're going to kill this woman or not. And actually, the Gemara over there, Masechtas Kedushin, asks Andre Meir, how could you say you require Tanai Kafel that we don't infer Mechlava to Shemehen? You have to say both sides. But the Pasuk says regarding the Saita, Imle Satis Hinaki. If you didn't stray, then you're going to be cleansed. Now, the Gemara says it's obvious that we don't have to bless the Saitas. Why is it saying that? It's only saying it that to infer that from the negative, from the no, we know the yes, which is, it's coming to infer a curse from the blessing. Meaning, if you did stray, then you're not going to be clean. Obviously, that you don't need to have doubling both sides. You see, from the halach of Saita, ask the Gemara and Kedushin on your mayor, that you will infer one from the other. And on that, v'amrib tancham bar chachino, he answered over the Masechtas Kedushin, oh no, hereby Saita is different, because the Pasuk of Midbar says, Hinoki ksiv. It writes the word Hinoki without a yud. Really, it should have a yud, but it's missing a yud. So you could read it, because hey and ches are interchangeable, as Hinoki, that you'll be choked. Which actually, therefore, we read the Pasuk going on what it's going to say afterwards, in the next Pasuk. It says, the way you should read it is Va'at kisatis, that you, if you'll stray. So you read the whole Pasuk as Hinaki, which is Hinaki, you're going to get choked from the cursed waters, Va'at kisatis, meaning if you did stray. So that's how he answers the question in saying that that's why we actually know that the halacha is going to be that you're going to have that the woman is going to get, it's not actually known from inference, Mechalavat HaShemehen. No, it's because the Pasuk itself is saying this, that if you did stray, then you're going to get choked. And that has the Gemara, Taimed Echsev Hinaki. So it sounds like the only reason why is because it says Hinaki. If it didn't say Hinaki, Mechalavat HaShemehen Lo Yamrinan. Meaning you see from the Gemara itself, from Reb Tanchem Bar Chachinoi, from the Gemara's discussion over there, that even by Saita, it was a difficulty on Reb Meir. The Gemara was struggling over there to figure out, hey, wait a second. You see that it doesn't say both sides, and yet still we know that if she strays, she does get the punishment. But it only says that if she doesn't, she'll get blessed. What is that for? So it's obviously, we're saying that if she did stray, that she's going to get cursed. Well, that sounds not like Reb Meir. You see, Mechlala Vatash Mehen. Then answers the Gemara, no. The reason why she gets punished is because the Pasuk explicitly says, because Hinaki doesn't mean Hinaki, it means Hinaki, you're going to get choked if you went and you strayed. So we see that that's the only way. But if it didn't have Hinaki, then we would not say Mechlal Vatesh Mehen. That's what you see from the Gemara is trying to say for a mayor. You wouldn't say that in Saita. Problem is, Saita is Isura, and you said by prohibitory law, your mayor agrees. That's your answer. He agrees Mechlalav Atesh Mehen. So now the Gemara continues, Amid Beis, Ela Epech. You're right. We have to switch around the opinions of our Mishnah. And Afilu B'Isura Lesla, you're right, that Remeir holds that even by Isura, like in our case of Shvua, he's not going to hold that you're going to be Chayiv. He's actually the opinion that says you're going to be Potter, as we see that even by Saita, which is Isur, he does not hold Mechala B'Tish Mehen. However, Maskim L'Ravina, Ravina has a problem with this. Will B'Isura Lesla, you're going to tell me Remeir does not hold that by prohibitory law you infer from no to yes or yes to no? El Miata, but if that's the case, the following halachas are difficult. Shtuya Yayin, someone who is intoxicated from wine and then goes ahead into the Beis Hamikdash and does the Aveda, it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah that he gets the death penalty, that he dies. Rather, it's as the Gemara Sanhedrin Pegim L'Manav learns it out from Mechlal Hen from Mechlal Lav Atashmei Hen, because the Pasuk says, Meyiku Yod, Yayin V'Sheicher Al Teisht V'Loy Temasu. It says, don't drink intoxicating drinks so that you don't die. What the inference is, but if you do drink when you come to the El Moed, then you will die. But it's only learned that from Mechlala. So to Upru Reish, the halacha of going in with the hair which is overgrown, which the Pasuk learns out in Sanhedrin, the Gemara learns in Sanhedrin from the fact that in Sefer Yecheskel it puts together in the Pasuk someone who drank wine with overgrown hair, that the halacha is the Bemisa that you get death. Hachanami de Lesler, a mayor's dad can be there, a mayor's going to hold that you're not going to get death for the halacha of being intoxicated or overgrown here and doing the Aveda? Because the only way you know it is Mechlal Avat Shemehen. But Vatnan, we learn, which is actually a Braisa, Elosh HaBemisa, these are those who get death, is Shetuya Yayin, a Pururash. If someone's intoxicated or he has overgrown here and he does the Aveda, and there's no one who disagrees with this halacha. But how could that be? How could he may agree to it if he holds, you never say Mechlal Avat Shemehen, even by Isser? Elarav, the Gemara concludes, La'olam Tepach. Truth is, in other words, when we said that you have to switch around the opinions in our Mishnah, that, yeah, we have to switch around the opinions. Remeir is the one in our Mishnah who says Yipater, and the Chama is the one who says Yechayiv. But don't say that he's going to hold that even by Isser you don't say that. No. Ki Lesle, when does he not hold the Mechlal V'Tish Mehen? That's B'Mamayna. That's by monetary law. Whereas B'Isser Isle, regarding prohibitory law, he does hold that is the case, and therefore he doesn't disagree with the halacha of Shtuya Yayin, of an intoxicated kohen who does the Aveda. He agrees over this Gimichayv Misa, which you only know Mechlal V'Tish Mehen. But B'Shani Saita, the halacha of Saita is different, because we pointed out that even there he doesn't say Mechlal V'Tish Mehen, and so to our Mishnah is also the difficulty. No, Saita is different. The Isur de Isbe Memoin Havi. Saita is not just prohibitory law. It's prohibitory law that applies to monetary law too, because it relates to her collecting her ksuba, if we're going to incriminate her or not. And so, and therefore, that's why you don't say Mechlal V'Tish Mehen, because my mom and he does not hold that case. And so to the halacha of Shvuah Se'edis in our Mishnah, it also comes in relation to money. That's why he's making him swear, because it's a court case going on here regarding monetary law. That's why, as we switched on the pins down Mishnah, Meir holds that you're going to be putter, because he does not say Mechlal Lav Atash Mehen. We don't see anywhere that you're going to be Chayev, because you cannot infer from the Pasuk, which we say you only know. The way he's making him swear is he says, yeah, if you swear, if you're saying the truth, you'll get good. Okay, but we don't say regarding things that relate to monetary law that we infer the inference. And therefore, Remeir says you're going to be potter. Now, Rashi just addresses that we couldn't answer without switching around the opinions and then maintaining Remeir is the one that says you're going to be chayiv and the Rabban is saying you're going to be potter. Because if that would be the case, you would have to say that Remeir in our Mishnah is talking about a pure prohibition, which we're saying he agrees over there that you would be chayiv because you say mechlal v'tish mehen, because an oath is just an oath, it's prohibitory law. If that would be the case, then you would have to explain that the Rabbanu who say you're going to be Pater is obviously that they don't know Mechlal V'Tish Mehen even by Isser, by pure prohibition. And that would be problematic because then the halach of Shtu Yain of death penalty by the Kayin, which we said everyone agrees to, where would the Rabbanu know that from? And therefore it has to be, like we said, we switch around the opinions. Remeir in our Mishnah is one that says you're going to be Pater. And the reason why you're going to be Pater, even though he agrees by pure Isser that you're going to be Chayiv, that you do infer one from the other, a Shvua is not pure Isser, just like Sait is not pure Isser, because they both relate to money. And therefore, although he said, look, if you tell the truth, then you'll get good, which the inference is, if you don't, you'll get cursed, that he doesn't hold of because it relates to monetary law, and that's why he says you're going to be Pater from the Shvua's Edis in that situation. Hanulach Shavuos Eidus, we shall return to you the fourth paragraph of Masechta Shavuos, Perek Shavuos Eidus. And then we continue on to the fifth paragraph, Perek Shavuos Abikadon, which continues on to the next category of oaths, that relating to a deposit, which someone deposits something by a custodian, by someone. And then he says, please give it back. And the guy says, I don't know, he told me, I don't have it. And he swears falsely. There is a unique halacha that the Torah talks about of Shavuos Abikadon. Says the Mishnah, this oath of a deposit, neheges ba'anashim u'benashim, applies to both men and women, which as Rashi points out, it's only because by Shavuos Eidus there was this, the differentiations in all these categories between men and not women and so on. So therefore our Mishnah says, here there aren't those differences. Where it applies by men and women, meaning if let's say the custodian's a man or a woman and swearing, they'll be liable. Berchekim u'bekreivim, whether it's non-relatives or relatives, where if, let's say the owner of the deposit is a relative to the one that he deposited by. B'ksheim b'psulim, those that are valid to testify and those are invalid to testify. B'fnei bezin, b'shele b'fnei bezin, whether in court or out of court. That's if mipi atzmei, that if the custodian himself took the oath, which they said it, or if let's say after the owner of the object made him swear and he says amen, and then he admits afterwards that he swore falsely, then there's going to be chayav karban, as the pasuk says, "Mikahei b'chichesh ba'misay." He denied it to his friend, which is whatever the situation is, whether in court, out of court, whatever it is. Now, but let's say it's where the owner of the deposit or someone else adjures him to take the oath, where he didn't answer amen, because we said saying amen is like you said it yourself. But rather, it's like when the person says, "Mashbiyani alacha, I want you to swear shetachsli b'ktani that you give me back my deposit," and the custodian says, "Ein lucha b'yadi, I don't have it." So that's not amen like you said it yourself, but rather it's mepi acherim. Then ein lachayev atchik feren bebezn divrei meir. Then the meir says you're only going to be liable if you make that denial in court itself, because mujma mepi acherim, having the oath taken by someone else adjuring it onto the defendant, doesn't say that halacha regarding a pekadon by a deposit. We only learned it out from the halacha of Shavuos Eidus. Now, as we explained on Daf Lamed Aleph and Aleph, Remeir holds what's called dun mino umino. When you learn out from something, you learn out the whole context from over there. And just like by Shavuos Eidus, the halacha has to be in Bezdin, so too over here, even though by Shavuos Abikadon, the halacha is generally even out of Bezdin, but the halacha of Mujma Peachim, which you learn from Shavuos Eidus, has to also be in court. In conscience of a chachamim, they say, no, whether the person took the oath on himself, or whether it was adjured by someone else, kivin shakafa b'chayv, once he denies, he's going to be liable, because, as we explained over there, the Rabban hold dun minova uki ba'astra. The primary halacha you learn from there, b'shavuos Eidus, but then the context is like it is b'shavuos Abikadon, which shavuos Abikadon is even out of bezin, so to mishma b'chayim would also be even out of bezin. Now, continues the Mishnah, b'chayv al-zadin hashvua. Here, in contrast to most Isurim, the liability of a carbon is even going to be if one did it deliberately. Because here by Shavuos Abikadon, it doesn't say Vanellum, that there was a lapse of awareness. What's this case of Zadon HaShavua? Is that he remembers, of course he knows that he has that person's deposit, and he knows that he's going to be liable for denying it a carbon, and he does it anyway, and then he admits, then he's chayav a carbon for Shavuos Abikadon. So too for the category of Vashagigasa im Zadon HaPakadon. If let's say he was shagag, meaning he was unaware that he's mechayev a carbon, but he was mazed, he was deliberate by, he knew that he has the deposit and he's lying falsely, where since he knows that he's doing it deliberately, at least in the fact of that he has the deposit and he's denying that, now, but he doesn't know that he's mechayev a carbon, here also the halacha is going to be that when he finally admits, he's mechayev a carbon for the Shavuos Abikadon. However, the third category, but he's not liable if he was totally unaware. Let's say he thought he's actually swearing truthfully. He didn't realize that he even has this person's deposit, and he's, I swear I don't have it. That's called an oinus, and that's something that is not considered being conscious at the time of the oath, and therefore it's going to be pater. Explains the Mishnah, machayv asadayna. What is a person liable when he deliberately lies regarding the pekadon that the person is trying to get back from him? Asham bekesev shkalim, a carbon asham that's purchased for 2 sloim. Because that's what the pasuk says in Yerkehei, by the ayil ha-asham, the ram of the asham, be'erkecha kesev shkalim, which the minimum of kesev shkalim is 2 sloim. He has to buy a carbon asham for his atonement, for swearing falsely regarding the oath of the deposit. Now, explains the Mishnah, Shavuos Abikadon Ketzad. What is this case conceptualization of the oath of a deposit? So Amaloi, it's where the person tells him, Tenli piktaini sheshli biyotli, give me my deposit that I have by you. And the person says, Shvush in lochabiyadi, I swear you don't have anything by me. Oisha Amaloi in lochabiyadi, or it goes the other way around. First the custodian says, I don't have anything of yours by me. And the claimant says, Mashbiyachani, I want you to swear to me. Vama amen, and he says, yes. So we said this like saying it yourself, Harizachai, he's gonna be liable for the carbon asham of Shvus Abigad. Let's say Hishbiel of Chomesh Pam. Let's say he makes him swear 5 times. Bein b'fnei bezin, whether it was in front of court, or bein shaloi b'fnei bezin, whether it was out of court, v'kava, and he denies it each time. Chayav v'kolachas v'achas, each one he's going to be liable for a carbon shvua for the shvuas of b'kadon. And Amr B'Shimon, he says, matam, what's the reason? In contrast, which we learned this halacha regarding shvuas ha'edus, m'nei sheyachol lachas l'ha'edus, because he could go back and admit after every denial, in contrast by edus, we said, in court itself, once you keep in shehegut shoveinu chazamakad, it was regarding testimony, you can't then retestify. Here, after every denial, you could then go admit, so it comes at every oath he was denying the money that he owes him, and therefore he's liable for each one individually. Now, let's say hayu chamisha toiv meis, let's say with the 5 people claiming to this individual, let's say he was a guy who watched a lot of people's deposits. And Amru Loi, they said to him, give us our deposit that we deposited by you. We all went backpacking, we all gave it to you, 5 different people. And he says, Shvua she'en lechem b'yadi, I swear that you don't have by me anything. He says it in one terminology, then ein lechem v'lach, it's only liable for one Shvua sabikadin. But let's say he says, Shvua she'en lechem b'yadi, I swear that you don't have by me. And v'lo lecha not to you, and he goes to each one of those 5 people, and he mentions them specifically, individually, chayav kolach v'achas, that's individuated shvois, and he's liable a separate carbon for each one. Now, Belazai, he says, no, atcheyem shvu b'achreina, he says, only if you say an oath at the end, where he says, ein lecha b'yadi, you don't have by me, and not you, and not you, and he ends off with the word b'shvu, with an oath, where then the word shvu at the end is obviously going on all of them, then he's liable for each one an individual carbon. Shimon, I mean, he says, "Atcheyem shvu l'kol echad be'echad." No, he says, "Until you say oath by each one, shvu she'en lecha b'yadi, shvu lo lecha, shvu lo lecha." He says the word oath by each one. Only then he's going to be liable for each one a separate carbon. Now, continues the Mishnah. Let's say the claimant says, "Ten li pekadon. First of all, give me a deposit that I gave to you to watch. Moreover, v'tzumas yad, there's a loan that I gave you. Gezel, you stole from me. Vaved, there's a lost object that you found of mine. Sheyesh l'biyadcha that I have by you." And that the defendant says, Shvua she'en lecha b'yadi, I swear that you don't have anything by me. In the Chayim Malachas, he's saying it in one shvua, is only liable for one carbon. But let's say he says, Shvua she'en lecha b'yadi, I swear that you don't have by me, not a pekad, not a deposit, but tzumas yad, not a loan. V'gezla, no robbery. V'aveda, no lost object. Chayim Malachas, he's liable for each one because he mentioned each one individually. Now, similar case, but in regards to the previous thing, it could have been, let's say, the same thing like a loaf of wheat bread. Just one was a deposit, one was a loan, one was stolen, one was lost. Here, it's the same thing like a deposit, but it's different types. Let's say he says, the claimant says, ten lechim, give me wheat, visaron and barley, v'kusman and spelt. Sheyesh l'biyadcha, I deposited by you these 3 types of items. And that he responds, shvur she'en lecha b'yadi, he says it in one terminology, I swear that you don't have it by me. Say lechem b'la'achas, then he's only liable for one carb. But let's say he says, Shvur she'en lecha b'yadi, I swear that you don't have by me chit and wheat, besar and barley, b'kusman and spelt. Then chayav kolach v'achas, then he will be liable for each one individually. Now, Reb Meir, he says, afilo amar chito v'sa'ir v'kusemes, which he's saying even in the individual terminology. He's not saying chitin, he's saying chita. Even if he says wheat, barley, and spelt in the Lashon Yachid, and the Gemara is going to explain this halacha, chayav kolach v'achas, he's going to be liable for each one individually. Now, Mishnah continues with a new category regarding this halacha of Shvuas HaPekadon, when it's regarding owing someone something, whether deposit or stolen or something that you owe someone money and he swears falsely, he's chayav a carbon asham. Here we move on to the category of knas. Let's say someone says, a claimant says to the defendant, anasto pesita es biti, you raped, you seduced my daughter. And he denies that, and he says, I don't owe you any money, I didn't rape or seduce your daughter. And the guy says, Mashbiach, and he says, I want you to swear, and he says, yes, chayiv is giving me chayiv a carbon shvur. B'shimon Paiter, B'shimon says, no, the person's exempt. She'en mishalom knas al piatzmai, because a person doesn't have to pay a knas on his own admission, meaning when there's no witnesses. Now, in this situation, if the defendant would have admitted that he raped that person's daughter, he wouldn't have to pay. So even when he denies, he's not denying a monetary thing that he owes to that person, because I could just admit, and then I'd be exempt. The fact that I'm denying and swearing on that, that's not a shvuas habikadon, it's only when you owe someone money, and here he doesn't owe the money, and therefore he's going to be exempt. Now, however, Amr Loi, but the Chum said they disagree with B'Shimon, because even though we agree to you, which the halacha is to the end of the Mishnah, we agree to you by pure penalty that, yeah, a person doesn't pay by his, even on his own admission. So therefore, when he's denying money because he could just admit and he'd be exempt, So even though he denied, he's not going to be chayav a carbon in that situation. But mishalim boishes to pagama piyatzmai. But a person does have to pay for embarrassment and something that's deprecating to an individual based on his own admission. Because that's mammon. That's not knas. That's something that you did actual harm, actual damage. It's not just a biblical penalty that you have to pay based on your own admission. And therefore, they said that this individual, when he was denying raping this man's daughter, it's not just the penalty of the shkolim that he have to pay that the Torah mandates for a rapist under all circumstances. There's a monetary obligation here also, which is this baishas, this pagam. That's a monetary obligation. And that he's denying too in his denial of the seduction. And therefore, for that denial, he's chayav a carbon shvur, which the Gemara explained the machlekes. Similarly, Rabban have a good point. Why is Rabbi Shimon saying he's exempt? Now, continues the Mishnah. Let's say the claimant says, Ganavta eshevi, you stole my ox. Voima Luganafti says I didn't steal. And he says, Mashbiyacha Aniva Amma Amain. He says, I want you to swear to me. And he says, yes. Chayiv is liable because that's a monetary obligation. Something steals, you have to pay. That's a classic Shavuot Begot. But let's say he says, Ganafti, yes, I stole. So that is admitting, that is not denying, that is not swearing falsely. Avaloy Tavachti Blamacharti, but he denies and says, I didn't slaughter it and I didn't sell it, which that's the liability of Dal Veheo, four or five times the what was stolen in cases of when it's a sheep or an ox, which that's actually biblical penalties because you're already giving back the principal. Here you have to give four or five times the amount, which that he's denying and he's swearing to that effect because he says, Mashbiach, and I want you to swear to me, and he says, yes, Patri is going to be exempt. Because as the Mishnah will conclude, this is a case of knas, pure knas, where everyone agrees that he's going to be exempt. Let's say, Hey, Meshorcha Eshraibi, let's say the claimant says, your ox killed my ox. Boy Maloyim says, no, it didn't kill. Mashbiach, and he says, I want you to swear to me, and he says, yes, he's going to be chayiv, because that's a classic monetary obligation, not a knas. You damage someone else's, your ox damaged someone else's ox, you have to pay. But let's say he says, Hey, Meshorcha es Avdi, your ox killed my slave, which that's a knas, because there the Torah, in all circumstances, says the payment is 30 slum, even if it's only worth a dinar. So that's just a biblical penalty. Voy Maloyim, and he says, no, my ox did not kill your slave. Mashbiach ani ba'am amen. He says, I want you to swear to me. And he says, yes. Pater, he's going to be exempt because that's not a kenas. So to amaloi chavalta bi vasisa bi chabur. Let's say he says, you injured me. You gave me a wound. Boy amaloi chavalta bi vasisa bi chabur. He says, I did not injure you. I did not not inflict a wound on you. Which that's a mammon type of a case, which someone injures is a mazik, he has to pay. Mashbiach ani says, I want you to swear ba'am amen. He says, yes. Chayev, there is chayev. In contrast, Amalei Avdi, let's say his slave tells him, that's what all these cases are, they're contrasting a case that will be Mammon, a case that will be Knas, in the same category. Let's say his slave tells him, Hepalti Ashini Bisimase Es Einai, you knocked out my tooth, you blinded my eye, which that's a Knas, because why should his slave go out free because he injures in one of his limbs? But a slave is like a person's animal, it's like his cattle, like a flock, he owns him. And therefore, if he does that to his animal doesn't go free. But that's a biblical penalty if he does that. And therefore, in this situation where the owner denies the claim and says, no, I did not knock out your tooth, I did not blind your eye. And Mashbiach Ani, the slave tells this, the master, I want you to swear to me. And he swears falsely. And then he admits, Pati, he's exempt over there in that case. Because as the Mishnah concludes, Zahaklal, this is the rule. Any case where a person would admit on his own, he would be liable, meaning it's a chiv mamonis. If someone admits that he robbed the bank or that he smashed someone's wall, he has to pay. Then when he denies it and he swears to that effect, he's going to be chayv a carbon shvua on shvua sebekad. Whereas b'she'en mishal mapi atzmai, if he would not have to pay based on his own admission, like in the case of knas, where a person made b'knas, he's pater. So then if he denies it in that situation and he swears to that effect, then pater is going to be exempt because he's not really swearing on a monetary obligation because he didn't have a monetary obligation. He could have just paid it. And the fact that he denies, yeah, he's swearing falsely, but that's not going to make the liability of shvus habikadon of a carbon asham for shvus habikadon.